Today, we're going to continue with those five talks that I said I wanted to share. Resources from LICC, London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, who are keen to encourage the church to see the potential they have to be relevant in our situations in this day and age. And we started with that, recognizing 2 weeks ago that all Christians have front lines for God in this life that we live as pilgrims for God. And in our first talk, 2 weeks ago, I think it was now, we were reminded that in the church, all Christians within our church today have something in common with the children of Israel from the Old Testament. Two words which define who we are supposed to be and how God wants to use us in the world in which we live and in the context in which we live. And those two words were elect and exiles. We are the elect, called people, chosen to be God's people, but we are living in exile. We are exiles living in a foreign land. The Jews, the children of Israel, literally were in captivity, in exile, when this word was given through Jeremiah. They were living in exile in Babylon. We are living in a foreign land to us spiritually. Scripture reminds us in the New Testament that we are to live in the world, but not be of the world. And that's the principle that we're talking about. So we're chosen, but we're strangers. And again, in common with the children of Israel, we are called to be a blessing for God in that uncomfortable setting that we find ourselves in. We are called to be a blessing. We're called to be a people who are a light, who speak for God in those situations. And as we saw in that first talk 2 weeks ago, that means us making all the difference in the world as we do so. So today, I want to move on. I want to give us a second perspective in this and start to think about geography. Where does all of this take place? Where are we to be the elect and exile? So I'm going to show you a video. I'm hoping the sound will come through clearly enough so that you can grasp the meaning of what's taking place. So let's watch this.
One hours a day.
6 days a week.
Whenever I'm needed.
Every Saturday morning.
I spend my time.
In a place that matters to God.
With people that matter to God.
My front line.
In the stresses.
Successes.
Problem solving.
Tantrum resolving.
Laughter.
Teamwork.
Jokes.
Tears.
Boredom.
Tension.
Cups of coffee.
Cans of Coke.
God is working with me.
He helps me see what he sees.
Put here by God.
He knows the day ahead.
This place is rich with possibilities.
This is my front line.
Hopefully that gives you a sense, a picture of what we're going to be speaking about this morning. Do you know that passage that was read to us from Angie in Genesis 28 gives an account of someone who had a quite dramatic encounter with God. Something remarkable took place there for him. Jacob meeting God in a story that we know really well. It's a story that even people who are not churchgoers know about. Songs have been written about the stairway to heaven. And this is this encounter that's remarkable, but that it's easy for us to miss the key points about. Encounters are with God, especially the ones that we see in Scripture, are transformative in their nature. They happen in the course of ordinary life, in the ups and downs of life, but through those, God transforms the situations for the people who are meeting with him in that setting. It happens for us in places that we go to routinely, places that we know very well and we're there regularly. And as in the situation with Jacob, it happens to us also in the places where we find ourselves really unexpectedly. And that's what's taking place with Jacob in this instance. We find this guy whose life at this point is in turmoil. It happens when Jacob's relationship with God is appalling. His relationship with Esau perhaps is even worse. Esau wants to kill him. Literally, if you read the previous chapter, he's just cheated his twin brother out of his birthright. Remember, this is the twin who was born grasping the hand, the heel of his older brother as he was born. And the whole of his life seems to have been this picture of scheming. And now Esau has just had taken away from him in this birthright all the security, all the confidence for his future that he should have expected. And if you read the previous chapter, you see the consequences for Jacob are not looking good. So now he runs away. He's desperate to escape and he's trying to find a place. And it's in this context that God meets him in this setting. I want to bring three short, simple points from this passage that relate to us understanding how God wants to use us on our front lines, wherever those may be in life. And the first point I want to bring is that God meets Jacob in an ordinary place. For us, for many people, when they preach on this, for churches, as we look at this passage, the big bit of the story that we get to is God's redeeming, recapturing of Jacob's life, bringing him back, restoring him, telling him he's got a future for him. God meets Jacob when he seems to have done everything wrong and tells them that he's got a future. We talk about the restorative elements of this. We talk about the prospects of how God will use Jacob in the future. And it's really easy to miss the key point in this passage, which is where it all takes place. And one of the reasons for that, perhaps, is that we have a tendency to see God meeting people in particularly holy places, like our church buildings, like the places where we like to sit comfortably, maybe in our church buildings, sitting in a row, facing forward, while someone at the front takes all the key responsibility and we're comfortably engaging in this process. And we kind of expect God to meet us in that sort of setting. In a prayer time together, whether it be on Zoom or in a building, we expect God to meet us there. But the passage in Genesis is typical of Scripture, which says anything but. Scripture says, no, actually God meets us in all sorts of places, in every setting. It insists that the world is a place of such meetings. And when you look through Scripture, we see that in the Bible, the encounters that people have with God happen in all sorts of remarkable situations. Moses met with God in a burning bush. Elijah met with God just on the edge of a cave. And then, not in the whirlwind, the spiraling winds that were going on all around, he met him in the whisper as God was passing. Jesus met with Zacchaeus up a tree. He met with a woman at a well where she was going about her normal business, drawing water. He met Peter by the side of a Sea of Galilee, on a beach, on his boat. And when Mary Magdalene went looking for Jesus in the tomb, which interestingly is where a lot of people hope to find an encounter with God even today, Mary found that Jesus was right behind him in the garden, right over her shoulder. There have been some remarkable stories that many of us would have heard, places where people have encountered God. People find God in prisons. They find God in schools. I came to know Jesus 50 years ago, not in a holy place as such, but I met with God in a hall, a community hall, in the middle of what was a school all those years ago. It became a sports center later, and now I think it's a fast food restaurant. Some people meet God in their homes. My mum had a remarkable revelation of God in the corner of her bedroom. Other people meet God in their workplaces. They find God on a squash court or in some setting where they're meeting with friends in other places, in pubs, in fields. And it happens because that's where God is. He is everywhere in this world. And they meet people through individuals like us when we take God into those situations. So the first point to note from this passage is that God meets Jacob in an ordinary place. Second thing to note in this is that God then transforms that ordinary place into a holy place. For most people in that time, in Jacob's period and in his location, the place where he met with God was just a passing place. Presumably he was on a well-trodden path. Other people would have passed that way. Would they have spent the night overnight? We don't know. He found that place because that's the way timing was. The sun went down. He needed somewhere to sleep. Presumably, it was reasonably sheltered. And he found this place. And he just lay down. He got a stone off the ground and he put it down and put his head on it and went to sleep. And that's where he found God. Presumably, thousands of travelers would have gone that way before him and since. But that place would have been ordinary until God met him there. In the same way, that burning bush where God met with Moses would have been a burning bush. It was a bush that would have been growing from a seed or something, a parent plant in years gone by. But it was when God met with them there that God was able to say to Moses, take off your shoes because the ground on which you stand is holy ground. It became holy because God met with them there. It became literally a touching point between heaven and earth. And in that, this ordinary place for Jacob became an extraordinary place. A touching point, a place where heaven met with earth. And Jacob renamed it Bethel, meaning house of God. That's what we mean by front lines. The ordinary places that become the touching places between heaven and earth, because God meets at that place with people who don't know him. And what might have been very ordinary becomes extraordinary. And in the film that we saw, those ordinary places became holy places. And they became so in different locations for different people. So for the plumber, it was his customer's house. For the grandma, it was the front room. For the businesswoman, it was her office. For the football coach, it was the football field, the pitch in the middle of a park in which he met with the children week by week. And it's the same for us. When we go to our frontline places, wherever they are, those places become holy places because you take the living God into those situations. And heaven comes down and touches people who perhaps at that point don't know God for themselves as yet. So God meets Jacob in an ordinary place. God transforms the ordinary place into a holy place. And then the third point. Jacob marks that ordinary place with a stone. He marks it. He recognizes, he acknowledges that God is doing something amazing there. What has happened is God has just given assurance and confidence to Jacob that he hasn't finished with him yet. That verse 15, let me read it to you again. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. He's got hold of Jacob again. And he says, I will not leave you. And I will be with you. And isn't that what Jesus said to us, to all of his followers? Go into the world. But he said, I will be with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always to the very ends of the earth. And that's our promise until God has fulfilled what he is going to fulfill in us. He's called us, not just so that he can have a chat with us in eternity at some point when we come to meet him after this life, but he's called us to a life with him now. Today on our front lines, wherever we are. For Jacob, he was a schemer. He was doing dodgy things. He was a bit of a wide boy for the whole of his life. He's on the run. But in this place, he hears God calling him back and reassuring him that he's going to make all the difference in the world through him. As he promises to make all the difference in the world through his people today, for us, wherever we might find ourselves. And so Jacob makes a note of this. He recognizes what God has done, and he puts this stone down in an ordinary place, and it marks it as no longer ordinary. This is a precious place. It is a holy place. I am not suggesting that in your front line with your neighbors, you knock on the door and when they invite you in, you pick a big boulder up and you take it with you and you say, hi, I've come to have a chat with you about God. And this is going to be a holy place. So we're going to leave this stone here. We're going to call this Bethel from now on. I'm not suggesting, and God would not be suggesting, we have to do something physical like that. But it is right that we mark, that we recognize and note wherever we are. We take God and it becomes a very special place. Because the holiness of God comes as you take him into that context with other people. For Jacob, it was meeting God in a dream. How's God going to use us and meet with us with other people? Actually, maybe the idea of a dream is quite significant in this passage. Because when he's asleep, things are still. His scheming, his planning are put on hold. And maybe there's a lesson here for us that we need to give God time to understand what he wants for us. In our prayer time on Thursday, we spent lots of time asking God about us, about our church, about who we are for God, how he wants to use us for the future. We spent time being quiet and listening and inviting him to speak to us, to prompt us. Are you giving opportunities for God to just, for you to slow down and God to be given opportunity to speak? Will you do that today? Would you give time each day? When you wake up, before you start planning, right, I'm going to do this at 9:30, I'm going to go there and I'm going to get the chips from this place at lunch and then I'm going to move on. Before we do that, I wonder whether we could give time to say, Lord, what do you want to be the holy places that we go to today? Where will be the front lines where we will reach into this world and where you, maybe through me in some way, will speak into someone's life and heaven and earth will touch and the kingdom of God will take a step forward. Where will those places be? Where does God want to use us? Tomorrow morning, some of you will go into a workplace that will be very specific. I wonder whether you would take with you tomorrow morning, literally, in your mind, an acknowledgement that God is there. Maybe tomorrow morning you're not going to go anywhere. Maybe people will come to you. Maybe it will be a carer that will come to you. Maybe it will be a place you'll go to do some shopping. Maybe you'll go to a club and meet with other people. Will you take with you a figurative stone, something that acknowledges that God is in this place and this is going to be a holy place? That's his encouragement to us as his church. Where can we be? Where will we be tomorrow for God? Maybe as we come back for coffee afterwards, we can share some of the frontline places. And maybe we can invite others to pray for us and support us as we recognize that it might just be in your frontline place that God wants to do something in a conversation this week. Let's pray.